Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Was talking to the Ephesian church, just about one of the very real aspects of their Christianity. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." That verse 16 and a few other translations, paraphrases, sounds like this, Ephesians 6:16, amplified, "Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. The good news, at all times carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. New Living, in every battle you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan." So, in the this passage here, we see the Apostle Paul kind of giving the Ephesians a heads up, there is a battle going on here. In fact, he starts out the passage in the verse before that. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities." So he's basically saying there is a warfare going on here. However, we have weapons. We have equipment that God has given to us. A lot of times when we're talking about stuff like this, one of the things our main purpose, reason that we're here as Door of Life Christian Church in ministering the Word of God is, I think our slogan says it well, where faith meets real life. Some of this stuff can get kind of theoretical and allegorical and out there, and we kind of talk principles and stuff, but how does this relate to our everyday life? What does this look like in real life as I'm reading this passage of Scripture? There's another place where Peter, he's talking kind of along the same lines here, and he says in 1 Peter 5, he says, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay? More allegory talk about the devil, about the enemy. Instead of using fiery darts, in that case, Peter uses the analogy of roars. But in either case, whether you're going to talk about a roaring lion or you're going to talk about an adversary who's shooting fiery darts at you, we see the commonality that there is an enemy, there is an adversary out there who is, as Peter said, your adversary, the devil. Of course, when Jesus was on the earth, we saw confrontations between Jesus and Satan, where Jesus was having battles with the enemy who was suggesting things to him that weren't true. When we go through, again, areas like this in Scripture, something that I like to say, especially as it relates to the opposite side of this, instead of talking about demonic warfare and powers and principalities, the other side of the coin, the fact that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old has passed away, behold, all has become new. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Wow, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. These are amazing spiritual truths. And as we grow in the things of God and we go for the things of God, those spiritual things get real to us. I can learn the, the spiritual theory of something, but as I begin to pursue things from the Word of God, as I begin to set my mind on the fact that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus and begin to see myself that way, those things will become real to me. In other words, they're real already, but the reality of those things will settle in my mind, my consciousness, and I'll begin to see myself differently. I like to say it like this: spiritual things are real. If you've been around here very long, you've heard me say that phrase. Spiritual things are real. What? I say that to kind of just shake ourselves up, because a lot of times it is easy to kind of get off on, you know, theological la-la land and kind of see these things as concepts. This is really going on. We really are in a spiritual warfare. There really is a spiritual battle. There really is an unseen world where there are powers and principalities that we really do wrestle against. We really do have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We really are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And so as we approach our subject this morning, which is simply the shield of faith, again, one of those things that is a piece of our armor we can't see with these natural eyes, but we know that there is a shield of faith. The scripture tells us that it is there, and this shield of faith can do something very powerful. It can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What does it look like in real life when you experience a dart or a roar? Well, the way it looks is the way that registers on our mind. In other words, when the enemy comes about as a roaring lion, I don't see an actual lion. I don't hear an actual roar. But what registers when the enemy comes against me will be a very profound thoughts, almost like a machine gun fire of fear. It could be fear. It could be bitterness. It could be hatred. It could be things from the past. Things, all of a sudden, my mind is consumed with something, and it is like roars in my head. And it says, seeking whom he may devour. The purpose of that psychological warfare that the enemy brings against our minds is to try to devour us, to try to take us under, to get our focus off of God. Well, in Ephesians, he says here, it's fiery darts. Same idea. But, praise God, God gave us his equipment, his weapons, so that we can have victory in all these things that we deal with. The shield of faith is really what I want to look at this morning, because the Word of God says, taking the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 16. And in my life, I have experienced that power. I've experienced where I've had things come against my mind, and I've had victory in Jesus Christ, and just overcame some things in my life. But then there are other areas of my life that it just seems like those fiery darts keep getting through. You know, there are areas you can be strong in faith, areas you can be weak in faith. But the scripture says here in verse 16, he says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So this morning, I am ministering along the lines of the shield of faith to get our faith up to where we realize, praise God, he can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And as we go there, let me just kind of say this first. There is an enemy, again, who goes about as a roaring lion. There are darts that are flung at us by an adversary. And it is very important to understand that in your theology, not so that you can become all devil conscious and paranoid and freaked out by every little thing and demonize everything. All right, that's kind of what people will do with the devil teaching. They'll take it to an extreme to where everything's a devil, or they'll get into another ditch where there really, you know, for all practical intents and purposes, is no devil. You know, and that's just not true. Do you understand? If there is such a thing as the shield of faith, and I don't take it, and I don't quench the fiery darts, if I just let that shield of faith lay dormant and I allow those darts to hit me, and then I look up and say, why, God, did you allow this to happen to me? There's a God who will say, by the Spirit of God, I've given you a shield of faith, take it. With it, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Theologies can get a little weird and a little strange when we don't take the whole counsel of God. And so this is an important factor. There is an enemy. There is an adversary. And we do have real weapons. We do have the ability to resist when these attacks come against us. And one of those big ways that we have is the shield of faith. So we're kind of target on the shield of faith and getting victory over those darts. So the first aspect of the shield of faith that I just want to touch on briefly is don't fear the darts, okay? There's a few things that we know about these fiery darts that the enemy launches at us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." In other words, these darts are nothing new. They're common to man. Amplified, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how much it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear." That's amplified. The message says, "No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face." In other words, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, no matter what it is that dart is, and those darts that are fiery, those are the ones that get under our skin. You know, you might say those are the ones that are your hot button issues in your life, the ones that are your Achilles tendon, your Achilles heel, whatever you want to say it, vulnerable spots, because a lot of times of your history. There are areas of your life, you kind of look at other people's lives and they're all nervous about different things. You go, wow, why get all worked up about that? I've got a lot of, that's not a problem. Well, you probably don't have any history a lot of times in some of those areas. And the areas that are sensitive to you are areas where you've had some history. Maybe of hurt and things that you've had to overcome in your life. So it can be a tender, sensitive area in your life, whatever it is. But the thing that, whatever your area is, to know that it's common to man. In other words, whenever me or you offer up a prayer request to God about something, it's not the first time he's ever heard that prayer request before. He's been hearing it for millenniums. It's common to man. I'll tell you, there is a comfort in just knowing that right there. There is no dart the enemy is throwing at me that isn't common to man. It has been diffused millions and millions of times through centuries and centuries. And so, as we look at it, we just want to understand, first of all, that, you know, Satan's weapons, they are carnal. They are going to appeal to your fear, hatred, lust, greed, passion. They're going to appeal to your, you know, to this outward man here in some way to try to get into your head. But God's weapons, they are not carnal. They are not fleshy. They are not common. They are powerful. And as we realize, just first things first, we don't have to fear the darts. Whatever the enemy is throwing at us, he that is in us is greater than that dart. Okay? I can just take it. So if you will right now in your mind, just as an exercise, think about whatever that might be, whatever that issue might be. What is that thing that seems to penetrate your faith and get you into that place of fear or concern or worry? It could be a relationship issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be a health issue, whatever. There are different things that can cause us, you know, that's a fiery dart. Whatever that is, you know, a lot of times it's easy to run away from those things. But here, when you're talking about the shield of faith, you're not running anymore. You're turning and you're facing the dart with a shield, okay? But step number one, in terms of the shield face, is you can't fear the darts. If you run away, if you try to turn and run from the darts, you know, with your shield, you're gonna get hit. But for the shield to work, you got to turn and face it. In other words, okay, I've been running from this thing for years. I'm not gonna run it. I'm not gonna be afraid because I know one thing about this: it's common to man. It's not uncommon, even though it's uncommonly frustrating to me. In the big picture, there's nothing new here. Millions and millions and millions of people have gone through this situation, different faces, names, circumstances, but to not fear the darts. I'm going to, by faith, not be afraid of this thing anymore. I am going to turn and face it by faith. That's going to be step number one of the shield of faith, because that shield of faith is going to be out in front of you, and it's going to be between you and that dart. So first things first, we've got to choose to not fear the dart. Some great other great promises right along this line. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Or like somebody once said, if God is for us, what difference does it make who's against us? You know, God is for us. God is for us. Why we don't have to fear the darts? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amplified, little children, you are of God. You belong to him. And you've already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who is in the world. So when we're talking about the shield of faith, we're talking about turning and facing things, facing those things by faith that we have been running from. The fiery darts that have gotten through. It says that shield of faith can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Praise God. And just realizing this, that I want to grow. We're here this morning to grow spiritually, to get further equipped for the good works he's called us to walk in. And part of that equipping is learning how to use our equipment and having basically trust in your equipment, or trusting in your weapons. The reason I can turn and face it is because I trust in my weapons. I believe in the power of God, and that the power of God is greater than these darts of the enemy. 2 Corinthians puts it this way. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You'll notice that when Satan came into the garden and kicked this whole thing off with the first sin, he came in with a theory and a reasoning against Eve's mind. Has God said, oh, he just doesn't want you to be like him? All of a sudden, he just works on your mind with thoughts and reasonings and arguments. And he does it with God. He doesn't stop with God, though. He'll work his way through all your relationships, your spouse, your children, your friends, your enemies. What are they going to do next? This is the way he operates. It's the way he functions. And this is why we have weapons for this area, because the Lord knew that this is where he's going to approach you, right up here in your mind. And again, we're talking about the shield of faith. First things first, I don't fear the darts because those darts are common. And those darts are distinguishable, and no weapon formed against me will prosper, and he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. So I don't have to be afraid of a dart. There is no place in Scripture where God says eyes or fears. In fact, the Scripture clearly says, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound. It's common to man. In other words, I have permission to stop running. I have permission to. I'm going to do it trusting my weapons. Okay, Lord, what are these weapons? Some other scriptures along this line. We'll see what these weapons will do for you. The bold, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised. Sure about Abraham. Because if you know anything about the story of Abraham, you know that Abraham, me and you, there might be a promise, and sometimes that promise seems too good to be true, and so it promised to pass, and it got him further into trouble. You know, because it just can't be. You come through another relative, maybe through, you know, Hagar, and, you know, trying some other things, those promises in the Word. But there came a point in time when God was able to perform which he promised. Now, this is encouraging to me. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You may not start off fully persuaded. You start off by faith. And you start off by beginning to. I like to say, this is where the Psalm 1 guy comes in. Remember the Psalm 1 guy? Blessed is the man. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf won't. What he's doing is delighting in the law, meditating in the Word, and it's causing strength. Waited that, wow, if God is for me, who can be against me? I can. What does it look like in real life as you begin to trust in your weapons? You begin to think about those promises. You begin to meditate. You will get faith in that area. Let me tell you, this works with anything in your life. If you watch 12 hours of political news a day, you will have much faith in the power of politics to accomplish things. 12 hours a day, you'd have faith in the power and the Word of God to get things done. If we'd start reading our Bible the way we have been reading our newspaper, and start reading the news, things in the Bible would shake us up, and the things in the newspaper wouldn't. Whatever, it just works that way. You're made that way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's the Word brings faith. The Word of the world will bring fear. There's all kind of programming, all stuff out there, whether it's the internet or programming, that has a word in it. Scenarios, hypotheticals, people's, and you meditate on that day and night, it'll bring that. That's why the scripture so emphatically, First Colossians chapter 3, if you're raised with Christ, set your mind on things above where Christ is, not on things on the earth in God. Therefore, put to death the deeds which are in the body. So you see the upward focus in scripture and develop the trust in your weapons. For any of you Star Trek fans, original Star Trek series, you always see that kind of fighting discussion between Kirk and Scotty, and their shields are at 30%, you know, and the captain is saying, Scotty, I need those shields that we'll work on. And the goal is, what is he trying to do? To build up his shields, his defense system. Of Abraham here, now, of Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. As you begin to realize those promises of God as it relates to the shield of faith in your life, these are things that can, remember my pastor sharing a testimony once about how he had a fear of his wife getting killed in a third world country. I mean, he was dreaming because he was living in Haiti and there was a revolution going on, and he'd go next door to the house and see a house of a family got taken out because they were on the wrong side of the political fence. And he's going, oh, you know, God, I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm just afraid for my wife. I have these dreams. And well, lo and behold, they did get a call. The Lord did move him from Haiti back to pastoring in the United States. And he was so happy. Oh, I'm so glad. I don't have to be afraid of my wife getting killed anymore. You know, they come back in the States, and all of a sudden, he begins to see her getting killed in a car accident and seeing her get mugged. And all of a sudden, it's the same spirit of fear taking a different form. You know, you can't geographically move away from a spirit of fear. That'll go with you, and it'll just adapt itself to wherever you are. When you're dealing with spiritual stuff, spiritual things are real. And what he did was he was just working away one day, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of the work, he was just fellowshipping with God, and the Spirit of God just spoke to him and said, you know what, Paul? He said, yeah. He said, that's not for me. And then all of a sudden, just knowing that, very subtle. Fear masks itself as responsibility. But when you know it's not from God, you have permission to not have the responsibility to entertain it. Fear has torment. That's the litmus test. Is this thing tormenting you? There's a difference between healthy responsibility and torment. That's a test you got to ask yourself. No, this thing is tormenting me. Well, there's no fear in love. Perfect love doesn't put up with that torment. It casts out that fear. It's not there. He's just standing there in work. The Lord said, that's not of me. He said he just resisted it in Jesus' name. And then he said he was just kind of walking. It was like he was in this dark tunnel all this time. And all of a sudden he could see the light. It wasn't from him. He said he just began to walk toward that light. And he began to claim those promises. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. He said once he came out and realized that wasn't of God. And this was over time. It was a couple of weeks of really walking it out. He knew it was right now. He saw it. But he still had, he said it was like there's peripheral vision. As he's kind of walking through this dark tunnel, he could turn and go back in the wormhole, but he said, I'm walking toward the light of the Word of God. No, that spirit of fear is not of God. There's no responsibility in it. It's a lie that there's responsibility. It's torment. It's not God. And being able to declare what the Word of God says, like Jesus, it is written. It is written. Resisting. Walking toward it. He said, once he got out in the light, he said, I can't believe that thing ever had a hold of me. I can't even believe that thing, you know, had, but you know what happened was his resistance began to get stronger and stronger. Shields went from 30% to 40% to 50%. You can get strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's Ephesians 6:10. You can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, or you can be weak in the Lord, in the weakness of your own flesh. But you can get strong in the Lord and the power. So what I'm saying is we're turning and facing that thing that's been eating our lunch for years. It's common to man, and I can get strong in that area. I can absolutely get strong. Now let me just kind of make a qualification here. There's a big difference between what we would call renewing our mind to the promises of God and cultic brainwashing. All right? There are little religious groups that will brainwash you. And what that is basically them imposing a belief system on you and forcing you through spiritual intimidation to have to believe something or else. And using everything from malnutrition to sleep deprivation to all kind of things to weaken your mind to get you to believe something. That's not mind renewal. That is brainwashing. It is manipulative. It's corrupt. It's not of God. Mind renewal is something you as a Christian on purpose of your own free will choose to begin to change the way you think about this world you live in and decide for yourself that I am going to see this thing according to the Word of God. And I'm beginning to challenge thoughts that I've just let, that I've given a pass on for years, not getting a pass anymore. I'm bringing you into captivity to the obedience of Christ too now. And that's what begins to happen. As you begin to trust your weapons, you begin to see it, you begin to build faith and trust that God's word is true. A lot of times there could be, you know, past hurts and things that have happened that you see something. Maybe you see something on TV or you see something that happened and it reminds you of something. It can stir up old hurts and pains, bitternesses and things like that. And you see a scripture like this in the Word of God. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 31 and 2, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you, forgave you. You can look at a scripture like this and look at it as another to-do. Oh, man, really? I got to do that. God did not give us these scriptures as another to-do list or another form of law that we have to obey. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. Contained in the words of this new covenant are the words of the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You understand? These scriptures, when you begin, you get to be like that Psalm 1 guy we talked about before, and you begin to meditate in these scriptures. A lot of times those fiery darts come. It can be an old hurt from the past or something that happened. I got to work through this thing. I got to figure it out. I got to psychologically connect all the dots and solve it. But the shield doesn't solve problems. It absorbs darts. It quenches the fire. And as you begin to build up your shields, you begin to realize this is not another to-do. This is a shield scripture that I am meditating on, that I'm beginning to build my faith. I can't tell you how many times this verse right here has set me free. You see, a lot of times when people talk about love or the love of God, they'll say, oh, you got to be careful with that love stuff, or you're just going to be a doormat for people to walk on. I've found in my life that bitterness has made me a doormat for the devil to walk on. As that thing keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, it's not true. Love is greater. God is love. It takes faith to trust in the love of God. But as you begin to allow these scriptures to go into your heart, because what does this force you to do? Let all bitterness, oh, come on, I got to put it away from me and be kind to one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you, then it's like, oh yeah, that's right. God forgave me. Oh yeah, even as he forgave me, I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed because of the grace and the mercy of God. There is a basis for that. Even as God and Christ forgive me. And as you begin to meditate on the word, this begins to build up a shield. And, you know, it's amazing how it works. Whether it's whatever you're watching or whatever you're reading. And that's why the scriptural weaponry here, there is a shield of faith that works here through the word of God. You begin to trust your weapons. So we are trusting the weapons of our warfare. I'm turning and facing it. I'm not afraid of the darts. I'm trusting my weapons. I'm trusting the power and of his weapons and that he's given me. And then finally, the last point of this is simply let the shield do the work. All right? Let the shield do the work. Ephesians 6:16 again, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts are quenched to extinguish the fiery darts. It's just my job to take the shield of faith. And that, you know, the way God does things in his word, you know, it's humbling enough as an unbeliever when you got to, that's why a lot of people never get in. They just can't humble themselves to realize, even though the Holy Spirit will show them this humility, don't stop there. There's, as you know, you're saved by grace through faith, but it's a life of walking by faith. And as you walk by faith, you realize that there's areas in your life that you're going to have to say, you know what? God is going to work things out in my life, and I'm not even going to know exactly how he did everything. And that's okay. I'm not needing a formula to write a book, to sell things, to do all that. All I want to do is I want to be free. I'm going to continue in his word, know the truth. And that truth will, that shield will extinguish those fiery darts. Taking the shield of faith with which, the shield of faith, you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So taking that shield of faith. Here's a few other scriptures along those lines. After these things, this Genesis, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and exceedingly great reward. Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My song, I will praise him. You see the shielding of the Lord. You see it right here in a place of worship, in a place of trust. And I love this. This is one of my favorite psalms too. Psalm 3, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who save me. There's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. You know what it's like when you just have one person who sets themselves against you. I mean, they just got it out for you. And you know they're trying to bring you down. And you know they're looking at you and they're going to try to find any little thing that they can misconstrue. It's bad enough having one life. And what he's saying here is, I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. 10,000 all around. Why is that? Because you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. In other words, I'm not doing hypotheticals in my mind of how I'm going to successfully elude every person. My focus is on the Lord. My focus is on Jesus. I'm just looking unto him. He is the object. I'm not even trying to figure it. I'm just looking unto you, Lord. Because the amazing thing is, my way out of whatever my maze is, you know, you think of sometimes those mazes, you know, think of like a rat in a maze or something like that. Jesus has the big picture view. He has the bird's eye view. I'm looking up in the maze. I don't have the view he does. But as I'm looking at him, then he communicates to me where to turn and go next. It's what makes him the Lord of my life. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who's going to get me through the maze. The one who began the good work in me, the one who's going to complete it. Because you, O Lord, are a shield for me. I love this. I really love intellectual reasoning. I love computer programming too, you know, that I'll do as well. And that's problem solving through computer algorithms. I love that, getting from A to Z and knowing exactly how to do it with perfect logic. And I have found that as a Christian and as a believer, I can't have that perfect little program. I got to humble myself and not try to write the code to help God out to get me out of this jam. I got to just by faith look up and say with childlike faith, okay, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I love you. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Well, how does that fix that technically? It doesn't. You've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It's true. You know, David couldn't figure out 10,000 individual plans of getting free from those 10,000. He had one thing. Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I love that. It's a shield. The analogy that the Lord kind of prompted me was just your windshield. You're driving in your car on a hot summer day, and you're not dodging bugs because your windshield is a shield for you. You could get to the end of your trip and have 10,000 bug guts on your windshield. And you didn't even have to think about it. You weren't having to dodge all those little bugs. Why? Shields were up. Shields took care of it for you. You were just focusing on the road ahead. There is a shield of faith. So many times, trials and circumstances and situations that we're just trying to problem solve, God is saying, let me be a shield. Let me be a shield for you. I ask God for wisdom on situations. I'll ask God how to handle things. But in the meantime, you know, in James chapter 1, it says, let him ask in faith. With no doubting, with no wavering. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you for the wisdom that I need. I'll ask you. But my focus is on you. And he goes on later in James 3 to say, when the wisdom that is from above comes, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy. Good fruit, without partiality. It's sown in peace. In other words, when God begins to give me that wisdom, it doesn't come through as anxiety and fear. It comes through peacefully. But in the meantime, there's a peace that passes my understanding. There is a shield of faith that's quenching the fiery darts. And so this morning, I just want to, again, kind of encourage you to let you know that there is a shield of faith. There is a shield of faith. And we're all going through stuff. And it's just amazing how God, by that shield of faith, in other words, I'm just looking at, you know, some we have in our, you know, we have kind of an expression that people will use in the world in a very disrespectful way. They'll say, talk to the hand, you know. It's kind of a totally disrespectful thing. Obviously, we don't communicate with each other like that. We talk to each other face to face. We walk in love toward each other. You don't walk in love toward the devil, though. You walk in your authority toward the devil. And so you got to understand that shield is what's quenching the fiery darts. And so when all of a sudden there's a fear that comes to my mind and I begin to declare, no, just like Jesus when he resisted the devil, I say, it is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah, but how is that going to get you out of your jam? Talk to the scripture. Talk to the word. Talk to the word. Talk to the shield. Talk to the shield. I'm just trusting in the word. I can't write the algorithm to get me out of this jam. My algorithm, my answer is the word. Faith. It's faith. It's faith. And I'll tell you what, as things begin to happen, see, the scripture says in Romans 8, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As you put that shield up, and you're spiritually minded, you don't have the answers, but you have something. You have life and peace that sustains you. That's what Philippians 4, 6 through 8 means when it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You don't have the answer to your prayer request. You got something, though. You got a peace that's sustaining you in the meantime. And that's how the shield, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? You know, like Eve in the garden. Oh, has he real childlike faith as a believer that we exercise when we put our faith and trust in his word? The cool thing, that shield can quench every fiery dart of the devil. I'm preaching to myself this morning as I'm preaching. It'll absorb the fiery darts. There is something about truth that absorbs fear. It absorbs confusion. If I try to fight fear and confusion with the power of the logic of my mind, it exasperates. It just makes it bigger, worse. But when I take the word It quenches it. If you've just walked this out, you know what I mean. You've experienced it. The quenching power of that precious, powerful shield of faith that is the word, that is the word of God in action. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray this morning that as we're going forward this week, that we know we're in a battle. We know we're in a warfare. It's not something that we can get out of while we're down here. There is the flesh, the world, and the devil. And it is part of the human experience. But we thank you, Lord, you've equipped us for it. Lord, you've equipped us for everything we need. You've given us weapons that are powerful through you. You really did spoil him. You defeated him. And you've given us that authority and that victory. Father, this is my heart cry today, this morning. By the Holy Spirit, I pray that each one of us will have faith to simply lift up that shield this time and not give those thoughts a pass, but to say, God is God, and God can set me free from anything, from any fear, lie, hurt. For each one here, I pray hope. I pray that each one will be absorbed, quenched by a shield of faith, a very unintellectual. Praise you, Lord. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, known before, very common to man. It's been quenched before. It's going to be quenched in my life now. I build up the shields. I build up my resistance. Not with my intellectual reasoning, but the simple promises of God. I hide your word in my heart. My trust is in you. Lead and guide me, step by step. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.